Morning. With the rain today, Sunday school picnic will be tentatively postponed to Sunday, July 12th. This coming week, we have Bible study, 7 o'clock here at the church. Saturday, 7 o'clock, youth here at the church. Next Sunday morning, Sunday school and adult Bible study, 11, with worship service at 10. With worship service at 11. Are there any other announcements or prayer requests?
I'd just like to say thanks to everybody for their loving words and hugs in the passing of Mom. And I'll tell you that Sally's enjoying the beautiful bouquet.
Thanks. Order of service today. Ike will be doing the scripture reading from Romans 6, 1 to 14. We'll ask Kel to open in prayer, and Tom will bring us the message from Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 17. We'll close the service with hymn 286, followed by the doxology ahead of lunch being served downstairs, and we'll begin with hymn 144.
Psalm reading for today is scripture reading for today is Romans 6, verse 1 to 14. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you know, or not know, that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and you members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace.
Good morning. God's peace, everyone. Welcome to our visitors. Should we start a service with a prayer? Father, we come before you this morning as your servants of righteousness, that we, as the hymnist has proclaimed, that we will serve you and honor you and look to you for our comfort and strength and yield not our bodies to our desire is that Father, may we look to you and that we could have the strength to overcome those desires and lusts and yield our mortal members unto the fruit that you want to see born and supplied throughout your kingdom and your land. Father, we're gracious, grateful for all that you give, and it seems like a few short days ago, even maybe weeks now, we pondered in our minds if we could ever get enough rain to catch up, and I think you're getting close to answering that for us, and we're thankful for that you supply, and that we know that you know best, and that we will enjoy the abundance of the plenteousness of what you're providing for us now. And we don't know what fruits it will bear, but we know it will bear fruit if you've provided it. Father, we certainly, with the heaviness of rain, sometimes it brings, there's this time of year, this change of season that doesn't always come with sunshine. It comes with some sadness and loss, and we certainly share in that loss that some of us have gone through. Continue to ask for your support for Sharon and her family as they adjust to this new reality, one that we all know is coming, and Father, we pray that we all can meet again, even though our time here is come to a finish, that we can meet again one day in your glory and bask in your glory forever. We pray for those who are starting new adventures, new lives together, that full of hope, and Father, may we support all of those that start out this track, that may we offer ourselves up unto those that we can be some support unto you, that when the road gets a little rough and rutted and that you can please reach out, that God will comfort and strengthen you through those of the kingdom. For those graduates who embark on a new adventure, pray that your treasure is first in heaven, and that you would look above, before, beyond, that we don't put the cart before the horse. And Father, we that the road will be paved in gold one day for us to be on, and though it may be bumpy now, and certainly ask for your word to be spoken here this morning. We ask for Brother Tom to be humbled to the truth of the word, to speak it in its fullness, and we accept that which you will give us this day. And Father, may we close together in that prayer that your Son has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we continue with hymn 348?
Let me hide myself in thee. Let me May the grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, be granted unto you through this indwelling Holy Spirit on this hour and day of worship. Amen. If we can take our Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll read till 17. In Jesus' name. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore the members, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father of him, by him. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. The title of this part of scripture in the Colossians is Live as God's People, or Live as God's People or His Sovereign Will. It's a combination of both. If you look at the second chapter of, I believe it's Philippians. I'm just going to look there to see if that's it, but no, that's not it. Anyway, if ye be risen with Christ, if ye then be risen with Christ, it's present tense. Seek those things which are above. Are you risen with Christ? Have you been changed, regenerated, born from above, taken out of darkness and brought into his magnificent light? Baptized with Christ, so the old man is crucified and the flesh is crucified with him. Has that happened? If it has, then you seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, is risen from the dead, we have a lively hope because it comes, we have an inheritance with him, like it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How are we kept? By the power of God. Wherein greatly we rejoice through not now for a season, if need be, year in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold or that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Received the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So in Colossians, it's showing a promise. Because he's risen, we are. If ye be then risen with Christ, which we are, we're changed, we're conformed to the image of Christ. We seek those things from above. In Romans 6:4, it also says, therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should be walk in newness of life. What is newness of life? We're walking in the new man and not the old man, which was crucified with Christ. We don't walk in the flesh because the new man has dominion over the flesh. It does not mean that we don't sin. It just means there's a battle. Where before, when we in the old times, when we walked in the flesh, we succumbed to the flesh because we enjoyed it and propagated it. Now there's a battle because we're his. And we belong to him. We're adopted into the family of God. We are sons and daughters. So are we living as God's people, like the title says? Well, according to God's sovereign will, we will. Because he sovereignly will allow that to happen through his influence. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. What are we focused on? I think this Bible verse I quote more often than many. Romans 4, 7 to 9. Maybe it's because it just brings peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Shall keep your hearts and minds. The sovereignty of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, the work of the cross. How does it keep your hearts and minds? By influencing you through the bride of Christ, through the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, on things that are meaningful, that affect you eternally. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, the truth of the word, things that are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good rapport, if there be any virtue or power, and believe me, there's power in the word. And if there be any praise, think on these things. The praise goes to God. Those things which are we have both learned, because you've had teachers, and received and heard and seen in me, Paul's saying, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We have peace with God because we are justified, because we have the faith of Christ. We are justified, which means you're just as if you had not sinned, because your sins have been taken away as far as the east is from the west. So we focus on things above that are meaningful. Heaven, which we have not seen. We're focused on the things of who we belong to, the bride of Christ, the unity of the bride, how we impact the bride, how we affect the bride, or in a negative tone, how we infect the bride, depending on what we say and how we say it and what we do. Do we say it with lovely bowels of mercy? Do we say it with compassion? Or are we harsh? To set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, and your life, which the life you live, is hid with Christ in God. Galatians 2:20. What does that equal? It equals this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still alive. I'm crucified with him, but I'm alive. But Christ liveth, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Through that Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And the life in which I now live in the flesh, the life now that I have, because I've been born from above, regenerated, taken out of darkness into life. I live by the faith of the Son of God who has given it to me, his faith. And he gave himself for me. When Christ, who is our life, because that's he is our life. He's everything. He means everything to us. We wake up in the morning, he's there. Throughout the day, he is there. When we say our prayers in the evening, he is there. He is our life. It's saying, who is our life when he shall appear? He's appeared to us. We haven't seen him, but he's appeared to us. The change that happened, the transformation that has happened to you through sanctification of your life, the change of who you were to who you are today, is not something that you chose. It's something that God has created in you. He created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And he's making a masterpiece. And you are the masterpiece. And there's many words to be said, but he does it with pictures. Every picture he shows. The times you were disobedient, maybe to your parents, or you didn't do what you're told, and you were rebuked and he corrected you. That picture is there. The picture of the time when you were taken out of darkness into light, where you're broken, lowly, and contrite, had nowhere to turn. But the desire was for help, because you needed a Savior. You needed somebody to help you, and he was there. That picture is there. The time that you maybe graduated from school, that picture was there. I think the pictures, though, are mostly pictures of the trials of life and the success and the walking through the trials, walking through the shadow, walking through those things and learning from them. Those pictures are there. And every picture shows the growth of how you grew through that. That's sanctification. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Meaning you're going to end up going to heaven because of the work of the cross, because of what he's doing with his creation. How he's making it, how he's molding it. Philippians 3, 7 to 14. But what things were gained to me? This is Paul talking about his past. Those I counted loss, a loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, except for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that's not lost. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Your heart has been changed. So you have the heart of Paul here. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. And he was perfect under the law, according to what he said. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, because now you have the faith of Christ, having regenerated, being regenerated by that sanctification process, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I may have apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting the things in the past. Paul's living in the present and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press forward the mark for the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. From verses 5 to 9, it's talking about mortifying. Mortifying the therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. If you want to know where you came from before you were changed, read Ephesians 4, 17 to 32. How he brought you from where you were to where you are now. And if you haven't been changed, read it as this is going to happen. You're going to be influenced by the new man to not talk the way you used to talk, not walk the way you used to walk. And the desires of the flesh will be exceedingly sinful. And because the new man is now controlling the old man through that vessel, controlling it for his honor and his glory, because he's creating a masterpiece full of pictures. So this 5 to 9 reminds me of Romans 8. 8 to 14. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's not us, though. It says in the next verse, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, that so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Your sins have been taken away, and you've been imputed the righteousness of Christ. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. So who's quickening? The Holy Spirit is quickening. So when it says here in Colossians, mortify your members, who is doing the mortifying? The Holy Spirit is. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. You're adopted into the family, sons and daughters of God the Father, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father, thank you for giving us the ability to cry to you and call you, because you are worthy to be our fathers. And I can't say that this means daddy. This means father. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new man. The knowledge that you now have in the new man is being created by God. God creates the new man in you. How does he do it, and what parts does he use? Ephesians 4:23-24. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And it goes on to what it causes. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. All the ones that believe in the cross, all the ones that believe in the work of the cross, all the ones that are Christian, all the ones that are sons and daughters of Christ, of God the Father, the elect of God, they will have bowels of mercy. They will have compassion on the sinner. They will preach the good news of Jesus Christ, because the new man has dominion over the old man. Every tribe, tongue, and nation will be spoken to. There will be no excuse for anyone, because the law of God is written on every man's heart. Some people still say that, well, there's 7,200 nations that have not heard, 7,200 tribes that have not heard the gospel. They'll all hear it before the end of time, because God is just and God is loving. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Philippians 2:1-5. Attitude of Christ. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill me my joy. What is this joy? You're like-minded. You're having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind because you have the mind of Christ, renewed in the Spirit. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You're doing it because you're so thankful that you have been chosen and called into the family of God. Because you know where you came from, a sinner saved by the grace of God. You remember the time you were lowly, broken, and contrite. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Of course you're going to do that. Why? Because they're better. They're better. It's as simple as that. So why wouldn't you? The heart of the Christian will esteem people better than themselves in the bride of Christ. Because they're better. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. You're concerned about the bride of Christ. You're concerned about every member in the bride. You pray for them. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Do you have the faith of Christ? You will do this if you have the faith of Christ. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also. Because you've been forgiven, you will forgive. A quarrel is nothing. It doesn't matter what your brother does to you. You forgive. Because you've done a lot more damaging things to Jesus Christ. And so have I. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Picture of charity. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 13, verse 4. And I'll read. Charity suffereth long, and is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. That's why you can look at the concerns of others. Doth not behave unseemly, seeketh not her own, seeketh others. Is not easily provoked, because they think, maybe I'm learning something from this person that's doing the provoking. God sent them to me to learn, not to teach necessarily. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave in itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, seeks the bride. Is not easily provoked, think it no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. The truth of the word, the truth of the gospel. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, Christ, in our hearts, through that Holy Spirit, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. You're known by God. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Of all these things, the greatest is charity. Above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God in your hearts, to which ye are called in one body, the bride of Christ, and be ye thankful. Thankful that you're here, part of the bride. The peace of God we have. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do we sing with compassion in our hearts, or do we just sing to sing? Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice it says here, Lord Jesus. He lords over you. Everything you do. Not just on Sunday. If you work for somebody, you do it to that person. Because you're working for Jesus. If you're driving, you're driving for Jesus. If you're teaching, you're teaching for Jesus. If you're prophesying, you're prophesying for Jesus. The vocations that you have in the bride of Christ is in Scripture. We talked about it this morning. Bible study. We do everything unto the Lord. I'll close in Philippians 2, 10 and 13 to 18. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. This is the 13th verse. To do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I shall not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We are God's children. Sons and daughters in Christ, the ones who believe in the work of the cross, the ones who have been changed, transformed, regenerated. We are ambassadors for him in this world. Do we represent him well? At the end of the day, when you've had a day, maybe your worst day, maybe things didn't go the way you wanted, did you represent him well? Because those days are the toughest. And if we represented him well, it was because we have the faith of Jesus Christ. And if we didn't represent him well, it's because the old man, the flesh, and the devil revived in us. That was crucified with Christ. At the end of the day, do you reflect on the successes of the masterpiece? God is building a masterpiece. He's the craftsman, we're the clay. He's the potter. He's molding us in a world that hates us. Why does it hate us? Because it hated him first. But he's molding us and making us so that we can draw people into the sheepfold through the faith that we have, the faith of Christ, through the compassion we have because we love sinners, and through the inerrant word of God which says God is love, and we can't but love each other as ambassadors for Christ. And in the world, we fight and stand against what is evil, and we stand for what is just, because that's who we are. We have the armor of God on. It's for a battle that is won through the victory of the cross. If we just look to the cross, it is finished, and we rest in the work of the cross. We can show compassion. We can show love, and we can show mercy. When we look to ourselves, we tend to go off track. But as God has written the books, I've said this many times, the book of Tom McCluskey is written from page to page. The end of the book is done. And the book says that if we believe in the work of the cross, we will make it to heaven. And that's our hope. And that's our peace. And that's our joy. Is that we're going to make it to heaven because Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 286 and 670.